I've been waiting on this.
I've been waiting too. What's going on, people? It's your boy Izzy.
It's your boy Taz.
And this is the Taz and Izzy show. Today we have an amazing episode lined up for you. Just for the people that don't know, it's me, Taz, and also Taz's girl is here, Beulah. Do you want to shout hello?
Hi, guys.
There you go. Hey. And we also have a special guest. And I'm going to waste no time in introducing this person. He has an abnormal chest. He's a survivor of death.
Oh.
He's a professional gymnast. Gymnast? Gymnast.
Yeah.
He's a competitive gamer. And he's also mixed race. It's the one and only Jimmy Odoki.
Hey, Jimmy.
Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Just
You came all dressed up and clean, man.
Let me just explain to listeners how he's looking. So this guy is in a white shirt with a red tie and black silk trousers and smart shoes. And I'm thinking, what is going on?
Well, you know, it was an important occasion. I just thought, do you know what? Might as well just show my appreciation.
No, we definitely appreciate it, man. It's about time that people start putting effort when it comes to coming on the podcast.
In your hoodies. I'm the only one allowed to come in hoodies, man.
But yeah, I think like a good way just to start the episode once more is to do a nice little game. I call it Trivial Questions, Trivial Pursuit. Okay. I'm going to ask you three questions and you can veto one of them.
Can you just explain what veto means?
Veto means is like you can refuse to answer one of them.
Oh, okay, that's it, yeah. Go on then.
Okay, so the first question is, have you ever pissed yourself in public?
No, but my brother has, so...
Wow!
Sorry, Thomas, I'm not bidding you out, but I remember...
You actually did.
The funniest thing was, it was on the Waterloo and City Line, and if you guys know, this tube line is like... Although it's a short line, it's sort of like a 5-minute wait. So we've just left Bank and we're trying to get to Waterloo. And my brother, he can't hold it in. And he's literally peed all over the front of the two doors, like the two entrance doors. And then my mum's had to put newspaper. Oh, it's so funny. I'm sorry, Thomas. I didn't want to beat you out, but I had to give it to him.
Well, we mentioned his name.
Hey, Thomas. There you go, Thomas, bro. Thomas Adoki. We know you now.
Wow, that is very unfortunate, man.
Yes, fortunately that's not happened to me. No.
Yeah, me neither.
Me neither. Yeah. You know what, actually, in first grade I did pee in my class though.
How old were you in first grade?
6 years old.
It's acceptable.
Yeah, so it's acceptable.
It's acceptable. How old was Thomas when he did that?
To be fair, he was about 10. I'd say he's about 10.
Oh, no, man. 10, I don't know, man.
It's a bit too much. Anyway, second question. How many girls have you kissed in your entire lifetime?
Two.
Do you want to describe them? Were they good? Were they bad? Embarrassing?
One of them was that very early on, so I can't really remember, to be fair. And the second one was, it's what it is. Like,
it's all right. I feel you, bro. All right, last question. Seeing as you're mixed race, would you rather be black or white?
This is a question I always get.
Really?
Yeah. Right. So, honestly, I'd probably say black, to be fair. And the reason I say that is...
You hate white people?
No, because I have quite a lot of white friends, actually. But... The reason is, I don't know, I feel like, so are you saying as if I'm living in the UK, or what are we trying to say?
So now, in your life?
Yeah, I wouldn't definitely say black, but I'd be more wanting to be black, just because I feel like there's that cultural aspect to it as well, so you can experience different culture, do you know what I mean? And yeah, so I think...
Fair enough, man. It's an interesting question though.
I'm lucky I've got best of both worlds, so
that is so true.
Just to give like a little story behind how we actually got this guest on the show, Jamie's been an avid fan of the Taz and Izzy show.
I've got a season pass, really, to be honest. So I mean, like, I'm a season tick holder. That's what I am.
And honestly, the love that you show is real, and like we definitely see it. And then also, like, we go to the same church. That's how we know each other.
Yeah.
And every time in church, Jamie comes up to me, he's like, when can I go on the show? When can I go on the show?
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, chill. And then it finally got to a point where like he fully convinced me as to why he deserves to be on the show. Without going into too much detail, apparently he has a story that he wants to share, and I think the listeners will be ready for.
So
I just think, like, let's just go into it. Like, what is it that you want to bring to the table?
Yeah, so I'll start off just about myself, a bit about myself. So I'm obviously studying at the University of Portsmouth. I'm a first year Portsmouth. So I remember on your show, Zizi and Taz, obviously people before have said Portsmouth wasn't their first choice, but for me, it genuinely was my first choice.
Okay.
Right. So I can say I'm the first one. I've made the mark. So yeah, away from Portsmouth, I live back at home in a place called Buckersthill, which is in Essex, where a majority of my story is going to take place. And then before that, I was born in a place called Leytonstone, East London.
Yeah, shout out.
And lived there till I was about 4. My brother was about 2 weeks old, and my sister was 2. So it's all like steps. And then, yeah, so we moved out of there. I remember when I was in Leytonstone, so I'll go a bit about into in Leytonstone. I remember when I was younger, I attended sort of a nursery. So obviously I didn't go to primary school, I had a nursery there, and I don't remember too much about it. But I do remember, I think particularly my dad, he sort of enjoyed Leytonstone because it had that cultural aspect to it. So a lot of different races would be in there. And then I think my mum, she just wanted to sort of move out because it was so busy, and it was sort of quite close to London as well. So Stratford would literally be next train stop along. So it's sort of crazy when I do go back as well and go past Stratford to see how much it's changed. And I sort of do see why my mum wanted to move out, because it's so built up now. So that was when I was 4, and now we're going to move down to where I live now, Buckersthill. So went to my primary school, Whitebridge. That was literally 30 seconds away. I was the type of kid, so in year two, I was a very quiet kid. I was actually sort of abnormally quiet, if that makes sense. So I'll be the type of guy, I'll keep myself to myself. I wouldn't have, to be fair, I would say I wouldn't have many friends, because I keep myself to myself. I was quite shy, and that played factors in, like, many different things. I was a type of guy, I felt like I didn't have much self-respect, if that makes sense, because of me being so shy. And it was partly because of the condition I did have, which I'm not gonna name, but I don't have anymore, which my mum knows. And yeah, so reception year 1 and 2, pretty much the same guy. I actually remember my hairstyle at this point was quite debatable. I'm not joking, I would wake up, and my brother does it now, so this is what I'm trying to tell you, Thomas, please look after your hair. I'd wake up, I wouldn't even comb my hair, I would go straight to school. Wow. Like, it was that, but like, seriously, it was that bad.
So at this age, how old were you?
So obviously reception, you're about 5, so about 5 to 8.
So, like, when you were from year 1 till year 7, so primary school, that was a good childhood, that was okay, or
no bumpy rides?
Wait, say that again.
So from year 1 to 7,
I haven't got to year 7 yet. Is it? You're jumping a bit ahead here. I'm just trying to. So I'm trying to say. I'm just,
trying to build the foundation.
We're trying to build it up, because there's stuff that's happened. No. But year 3. So with my primary school, it sort of split into 2. So we had the primary school, and then we had sort of the junior school, if that makes sense. So primary was obviously reception to year 2. Now fast forward to year 3, sort of the same person. Talked a little bit more, but I do remember this actually. So we would get this thing called merit points. So if you did something well, you would get a merit point. So I actually remember it got to the point where I wouldn't be talking at all in lessons, and then the teachers, my mum told the teachers to actually give me merit points if I talked, because it got that bad, because I wouldn't talk to anyone. I had a best friend, Joe. He was also sort of quite, I was a bit of a naughty kid as well, but no, I love him, and he's like my best friend now. But yeah, we were sort of, it was sort of like one of those things where I still at this point I didn't have lots of friends, still the same thing of I didn't have much self-respect. I remember one time I was at my house, so Basically, when I did come from school, obviously not talking at all, when I do come to my house, like, I would just talk non-stop. And it would be kind of a weird thing. It would be like, if I brought friends around my house, I would talk loads. But if I went to school, it's just, there was no talking really. So I remember this one time, I really remember it, to be fair. So my mum was videoing me talking in my house in the garden. Mm-hmm. And I remember I hid round the bush because I was like, Mum, I don't want you to call me talking. And then there was like, so it's like a big hedge and there's like wood pieces on the ground. And I started throwing it at my mum. I was like, Mum, don't record me, don't record me. And then obviously she stopped recording me. But it was sort of, it was sort of getting to that point where, look, I'm sort of trying to emphasise how much I wasn't talking and little self-respect. So I'm going to go on to, obviously, I feel it's quite a big thing that happens in my life. So obviously I haven't mentioned about my Christianity and obviously how I met these guys at church and stuff. So I was brought up in a Christian family. Mum and dad both went to church. Everyone in our family was a Christian, so went to church every Sunday. I felt like at this point, definitely I was far from a Christian, to be honest. And then I feel like the next steps brought my faith even more away, if that makes sense. So fast forward to year five. So my mum, she worked in the primary school garden that she made from scratch. So it used to be a tennis court. She actually made it into a school garden. So a lot of the kids... Yeah,
shout out to your mum, man.
Yeah. So it was proper dedication because she was working a long shifts at work as well because she was an NHS doctor, still is now. And she transformed this garden the tennis court into an amazing garden. And all the school kids always do this. And then it was my mum and then one of our mate's friends. My mate's mum's friends would also help at the same time. And then my mate would also be there as well. And it would be on Saturdays as well, my mum, mum's friends, and then my mate as well, my mate's mum's friends would also go and would help on Saturdays. I know it's quite jumbly, it's kind of hard to explain. And then I remember sometimes they'll come to our house.
So where's the moment?
This is it. Obviously, you guys have been waiting for. I remember we were just playing, me and my friend. I'm not going to mention his name. And he was like, oh, Jamie, can we go upstairs? And I'm thinking, what? And he's like, yeah, can we go upstairs? I'm like, okay. So we go upstairs to my room. And I'm just thinking, like, what are we doing here? And he's like, oh, Jamie, have you ever heard of this thing called sex? And I'm thinking, what? And he's like, yeah. So obviously at this age, like, I've absolutely believed this. Obviously I'm a Christian at this point.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. Like, have you heard this thing called sex? Like, we're going to do this. And I'm thinking, what?
Whoa.
And I was like, can I still say it?
Yeah, no, carry on.
This is what I was trying to embrace. So, I want you to remember, I was a very shy kid. And obviously, I had no control over myself. And I mean, like, I was pretty much like a walking mat at this point. And clearly, like, obviously being a Christian house, I hadn't experienced this. So that happens. And many others, various stuff sort of happens. And this happens not just once, but twice, which was a bit crazy. And obviously, I didn't know what was going on what was happening to me. And clearly, like, obviously, he'd been, what I found out later was he'd actually been exposed to porn at a young age at year five. So I want you to imagine, year five's probably about 10 years old. So this guy was exposed to that at 10 years old, which was really sad. And then obviously, that happened twice. And then I remember one more time, he's come over and he's like, oh, Jim, come upstairs to do the same thing. And I said, no. And I remember that really vividly. Like, I remember I used to be really shy and I was just like, not much self-respect. But at that time, I was like, no, I wasn't comfortable with it. And yeah, so that was quite a big thing. And that evidently had catastrophic effects to me. Mm. And that actually led on to stuff in the future. So fast forward from year five, so year six, obviously left primary school, go to secondary school, year seven. My mum bought me an iPad. And this sort of opened me up to pornography.
Yeah.
Because obviously of what had happened to me. And I would go on YouTube, and I wouldn't ever go on a porn site because I knew it was like, no, like that's too much for me. I don't know why at that age I felt like that, but that's how I felt. And just was on YouTube and looking at pornographic content. And this started from, so year seven. And I want you to imagine, really, I said I was already a shy person. I'd keep myself to myself. And I want you to imagine the effect that had on me. So imagine I'm already saying I don't have many friends. Like, adding porn, like the effects that has onto you, like isolating yourself, that would isolate me more. So that didn't benefit me at all. So, and as I was saying, like, I didn't really care about my hairstyle and all that type of stuff. So I want you to imagine that that's gone out the roof now, to be honest. I didn't even care what I smelled like. I remember my dad said my hair looked like Mabira Forest. I didn't see it. So if you know what that is, that's the Ugandan forest. but yeah, so year seven, year eight, year nine, literally, like, this porn thing was kept on going. And obviously, I did have a group of friends, but I also felt partly the reason I didn't have friends as well is because this was quite an academic school as well. And I, at the time, wasn't too academic as well, which didn't help me too much. And I'd be scared to ask for help and stuff to the teachers. So academically, I wasn't very on top as well. So year 10 comes. I'm starting to talk a bit more now, which I'm sort of thankful, but I'm still watching porn. But it wouldn't be as frequently. It'd be like twice a week. Like before, I think the max I'd do is maybe three times a week. So I wasn't an addict, if that makes sense. But I still sort of was slightly. Yeah, so year 10, started coming, starting to talk to friends. Started to actually... obviously, I think when you're that age at 10, you start to think more. So when I was going to church, you sort of start to take in the words a bit more. So I think it was because I was at youth group, I was taking the words in a lot more. So church was having a little bit more of an effect on me. So I wasn't watching porn as much, but still was there. And then obviously year 11... I actually went and got a haircut for, not for the first time, but I remember I didn't much like the barbers. But I remember I had a massive afro, and then it was crazy. but yeah, so this point, I remember a friend actually telling me, like, look, Jamie, like, very, not blunt, he didn't tell me bluntly, but I'm going to say it, like, bluntly, like, he was just like, look, Jamie, you just smell. Like, you need to change your act.
That's a good friend.
I can't remember. So, yeah, no. I'm so thankful he actually told me, because I felt like that is the type of thing I needed, because no one wants to tell me, because obviously no one really wanted to be around me because I didn't open up to anyone. So I felt like it's something that I needed to hear. And then I've obviously took that on board and I started to look after myself a bit more. And then from here, I've moved on to college. Now, college was amazing. So I think a big thing for me with my social life was I was quite scared to talk to sort of girls, if that makes sense. So when I went to college, it was literally all boys, because the course I was doing was sports science. And the college I went to was like the worst, not the worst, well, it pretty much was the worst in the area. It's called Epping Forest College. And it'd be like kids that got kicked out of their primary schools or whatever, they would come here and go to this college. And it was just, honestly, I really enjoyed college. It was nice as well because I felt like it gave me a fresh start, because obviously primary, secondary school, I felt like I was going in the same way, but I felt like this time church is having more of an effect on me, and also it was in a different location because obviously I felt it was quite hard for me to change because I'm around the same people in year 10 and 11. So I was really happy I moved on to college, and then here talked a lot more. Porn is still having a bit of an effect on me. And then I remember, I was talking to one of, at the time, he's still my friend now, but I remember talking to one of my friends. He's like, oh, Jamie, do you have Instagram? I was like, yeah. So we started, like, we just talked on Instagram. I was like, hey, how are you? And then he was like, yeah, I'm fine. Then I remember one day he just DM'd me out of nowhere. Like, when I'm talking DM, like, he's properly DM'd me. And then he is led on to, like, crazy stuff. And then it ends up being, like, he's wanting to, like, try and have sex with me, kind of, in a way. And I'm just like, so I want you to remember, like, remember the thing I was telling you, so you, at this point, I'm feeling petrified. I'm feeling like, oh my days, I can't have this again. But I'm so thankful at this point. I was a lot more secure in myself, a bit more secure, a lot more secure than I was, obviously, when I was younger. And it's flooding all the memories, like, oh, I can't, honestly, I can't have this again. I can't have this again. So stopped talking to him. But then obviously, sort of ceased and stopped, stopped, thankfully. But yeah, second year of college, I was actually going to these things called Soul Survivor. So, Soul Survivor is basically like a massive music festival, where loads of Christians go and then just worship and celebrate God. And I'd be going to these from year 10 to last year. I actually went to sort of, I think it's going to be the last one, to be fair. And these were just like amazing times of where it was just loads of Christians in one place just celebrating God, and it was just amazing energy. And I remember especially this talk that I went to was about porn. So this was a time I was like, do you know what? Actually, I want to give this to God. And I felt God say to me, like, when I was sitting down, like, Jamie, you need to go up and just get prayer for porn. So the guy, Mike Pilavachi, who was the main leader, he was talking about porn and stuff and saying, does anyone want prayer for porn and stuff like that and sexual sins or whatever? And I remember going, yeah, like, do you know what? I actually really need that. I can't be living my life like this. And I remember I was gonna go up, and I eventually did go up, but I remember I saw my brother and sister there at the same time. Want you to imagine, because obviously we've gone as a church, and I'm thinking it's a bit crazy. I don't know if I can do this, because obviously they're there. I don't want them to think what is like. I went up anyway, and I was like, screw it, do you know what? I don't care what they think. I've just got to go up and just sort of release this. So went up. Thankfully got prayer, and it sort of changed me. And I remember sitting back down, and then I was just like to my sister, look, it wasn't for what you thought it was. And I remember actually that summer as well, because of this, I actually got baptized, which was really significant for me, because I felt like when I was getting baptized, all that water washed away all that stuff that had happened to me, all that horrible stuff that had happened to me, and sort of cleansed me. And then I was like, do you know what? I feel like I really want to take my Christian faith properly now.
That's good, man. I like it.
So
like it.
This is August. And then I remember at this time, I'm like to my mum. So with our college, we had the opportunity to go to America and play football. And I remember I did a trial before in a place called Newmarket near Ipswich, and I got through, and I was like, oh, I really want to do this, like, this is the thing I really want to do. So telling my mum, look, I ended up doing the trial, got through, and then they came back and was like, oh, it's I think it's around 30k or something like that, and that's without a loan or anything crazy like that. And I was like, oh, mum, even though it's a lot of money, like, I can work for a year and this can happen. And she's like, no, it's not. You're going to uni. And I was like, but mum, I really don't want to go. And she's like, yeah, you're going to uni. And I was like, oh, mum, really, why are you doing this? Like, this is sort of like my dream. And I sort of, at that point, I sort of fell out with football. So I was playing for a Saturday league team at the time, during their pre-season. And I remember my performances were just shambolic. I remember going home just like crying and stuff after every match, because I was like, oh, like, I really wanted to go to America and just play football. And then I'm trying to think what I'm trying to say. So I remember, obviously, went to uni. Portsmouth was my first choice. And my mum was like, oh, the subject you're going to do is like whatever subject you want to choose. So I chose geography. Not for the banter, but I actually got a C in GCSE in geography. So actually, this year, I initially came here to do geography for the first week, which I actually did. And somehow, I was able to get onto Portsmouth, even though at A-level, I hadn't got any geography GCSE. No, A-levels, which was crazy. I only got a C at GCSE. So, yeah, like, it was really weird. And I remember going into my first lecture. And then the teacher's like, oh, who's got their A-level geography degree? And everyone's putting their hands up and it's not me. And I'm like, don't know if this is for me.
That's so awkward you say that.
It's just like, I felt so bad. So ends up switching to sports science a lot better, which I'm still doing now. So obviously finished exams and stuff. So I'm going to go back to obviously the start of first year. And I remember going to Harbour Church. So obviously at the end of August I felt God was really in me, and I remember going to Harbour Church and I was really angry. I was like, look, I really don't want to be in Portsmouth because I really wanted to go to America and play football. And then I remember sort of the talks they tell about in Harbour are like, although to a lot of people it might be like, oh, they're just normal talks, but to me a lot of them were just amazing talks that I had never sort of heard before and were really amazing and talks I really needed to hear. So and I just felt like, although I didn't go to America or whatever, the time I've spent in uni, like, God has actually come and like really changed me. So the point I'm trying to make is, obviously I'm at uni and you guys see me like I am now today, like I'm like a completely different person, but the reason I want to tell my story is you've only seen sort of one part of my life. Mm. And this might be, it's not the final product, but this is a final product after loads and loads and loads of sort of, not hell, but like crazy stuff that's happened to me. Yeah. And like a couple of years ago, I wouldn't be looking the way I am today. Like I would have been a completely different person.
Yeah.
And obviously with the social side as well, I felt like uni's been amazing in terms of, obviously when I was at college, it was just boys, but actually having girls as friends, I've been able to sort of embrace that now and like really enjoy it, because I remember at college that was definitely a thing I wouldn't do, and I wouldn't sort of see girls as you could have as friends, if that makes sense. They would just be there as like, oh, that's your girlfriend or whatever. And uni's really opened my eyes up to actually, do you know what, you can have girls as friends or like this and that, and like it's been crazy, and like I feel like I've changed so much because of uni. And although I wanted to go to America, like God has been like, actually, you know what, that didn't work out because I wanted you here, and I've just grown in God's faith. So yeah, I just felt like it's a hard message for me to say because I've never said this. My mom doesn't even know that the stuff that happened to me in year 5 or even obviously the thing that happens in year 13, like only me and God know that. And I felt like, I don't know, just I felt something tell me like, look, someone needs to hear this message. So I just hope that whoever felt like they need to hear that message, that you just hear it. And that's the type of thing that I just felt I needed to say.
Yeah, thank you for that, man. That was that was a story, bro. That's a story. Like there were points where I was a bit like, whoa, taken aback.
I was taken aback, like, from all the way back. You know?
Is it cool if we, like, just ask a couple questions about what you just said?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I wanna go back to that experience that you were talking about with mm-hmm. The guy that was 10 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you still have, like, PTSD sometimes about that moment, and, like, how did you deal with overcoming that horrific memory?
Yeah, do you know what? I feel like it's one of those things where when I was baptized, obviously last year, no, it wasn't last year, it was the year before, I felt like that got rid of it. And I felt like God sort of just took it away. And it's come to the point now where I'm actually able to like sort of forgive the guy and I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
Like, obviously that might sound crazy, but it's because of giving it to God, I felt like, do you know what? I don't want that to affect my life anymore.
That's
really beautiful.
It is.
And even like, just like the strength to forgive, you know, someone for like that type of thing, takes a lot of, like, you can tell it's a God thing, you know? Because I know some people hold on to that for like 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And you know, now they're grown, like grown people with like kids, and they're still holding on to that type of thing. So it's actually great that, you're still young and you've already kind of like gone to this mature level.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm going to forgive this guy for what he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And like, not only that, also the fact that you came here openly to talk about it.
Yeah.
That must have taken a lot of like bravery from you.
I mean, actually, to be fair, like, I must say, I don't really know. Like, so I was watching a guy, so there's two of my favourite talkers. So there's a guy called Faith Talks, who Izzy, I've shown you. And there's a guy called Tim Ross. I was actually watching a couple of weeks ago. I was just watching their sort of their origin story. And both of them are Christians, but both of them have gone through the same thing I went through. So both of them were molested when they were young. And I just felt like I actually cried when I was watching both of them, because I was thinking, this type of thing only happened to me. Like, I've known no one else that probably has gone through what I've gone through. And to have someone that has gone through the same thing that you have, I was just like really breathtaking. The fact they're still Christians now, they're both leaders now. Like,
yeah,
I just think it was so inspiring. So yeah, like, it was just, I felt like, do you know what, if they're able to do it, then look, God's going to give me the strength to do it as well. And partly, I'm still now, I'm probably going to not regret, but I'm still going to be like shocked that I've actually said this now, but it's only by God's grace really. I'm able to say it now. So,
I mean, it's true, there's true power in testimonies, man. I feel like once you hear someone go through something and they are right, like you saw Tim Ross and he's on a stage, right? In front of people talking about what he's going through. And you're like, wow, like, people can actually really own this thing and turn it into something positive. And like you said, like, you feel like someone had to hear this.
Know,
it's like, it takes away the power and the hold it has over you, you know?
That's actually a fact, because, I know for a fact that there's a number of people out there who've gone through, like, a lot of stuff, probably worse than you, and they still hold it onto themselves because they think that no one can relate. So it's nice to have someone come in who actually can relate and has used it, as you said, like, to get rid of the power that it had over you, and now, like, use it as your own power, almost, to share to people. So, like, yeah, like, well done to you for doing that.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I hope, hopefully, like, that although maybe those people haven't heard Tim Ross or Fifth Talks, that maybe if they listen to this now, that they can relate and be like, oh, actually, like, I've been through a similar thing that Jamie has.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I just hope that it sort of resembles with you, and, like, the reason I am so passionate sort of about God is because he's able to change my life. And I'm sorry this has been quite faith biased, obviously, but it's just because I want to emphasize how powerful it actually is. And obviously, I remember you Izzy saying, like, why am I such a nice guy? And I think part of it really is, so, like, obviously the other day I said, oh, just because I genuinely am, but no, the real truth is because when I was so much more younger and no one would talk to me, like, I just thought, do you know what, I know people now that in that situation that I want to look after. So it's sort of like when I came to uni, like, I was just talking to anyone and anyone, really.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to not go through what I went through. But I feel like it's sort of like one of those things that, that I just want to sort of prevent.
No, I respect that because, like you said, you used to be alone. And I think that you wished you had someone to that would talk to you to make you feel like you are someone.
Yeah.
So now you're being that person that you didn't have back then. And I would actually encourage that to, like, anyone out there listening, like, go and talk to people and go and be nice, because you never know how much a person could actually need that and how it could transform their lives. Because there were times in high school that, like, I needed that person who I could talk to and, like, just accept me for me, and I never had that. So I'm trying to be that person now to the people that need that kind of person in their lives. So yeah, thank you for being that guy, man.
Yeah, no, no, nice,
it's,
man.
It's amazing, it's amazing. I was also thinking, like, sorry to, like, take it, like, way, way back.
No.
But obviously you were saying, like, when you were, like, younger, like, around 6, 7, you said, like, you were quiet, right?
Yeah.
But this was even before the whole...
yeah, this was even before the whole thing happened. Yeah, so, like, I was already a quiet guy, so mom was quite shy as well, so I think I probably got off of that.
Oh, you think so? Okay, fine. I was going to ask you where you...
Yeah, where I got it from. Yeah, so it was actually partly my mom. She was quite shy, but she was also, I don't hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but she was also bullied as well, because at the time she had a lot of eczema. So I have a bit of eczema now, but hers was quite bad at the time, and she wouldn't talk as well, and she was quite shy. So I felt that sort of passed on to me. But although that did have an effect on me now, we've absolutely, both of us have surpassed it now. Like, we absolutely, like, my mum now, she's pretty much a lecture teacher. Although she's a doctor, she goes to London Tower Hamlets and delivers lectures to loads of students. And, like, myself now, like, I'm able to talk now. Like, I'm able to talk so much.
I mean,
like,
you did the whole podcast by yourself.
Yeah, literally, man. The Jamie Show. But I was also going to ask, do you feel like sort of you were shy and you didn't talk much. Do you feel like that played an effect in that first kind of encounter with them?
Oh, definitely, 100%. Because if I wasn't shy, I would have said to that guy, look, no, we're not going up to my bedroom or whatever. Like, obviously, I think age plays a factor as well, because at that age, like, you're thinking, oh, like, you literally wouldn't know. Because obviously, when you are probably mature, 15, whatever, or older, obviously you're thinking, no, we're not us two, we're not on our own, or we go into my bedroom. Mm. And it was just sort of a shock. So I feel, yeah, like, when he was like, oh, look, we're going to do this thing, I think the shyness played a part, and also that feeling of no self-worth and no self-esteem and all of that just played a massive effect.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, like,
I had no idea. This is like the whole Dan Essex podcast.
Yeah.
Like, when you just have no idea that they went through something.
Yeah.
Mm.
But like, this is what I keep on saying. You never really know someone just from the outside. You literally need to know them.
And I think that's the massive thing in uni, like, we will see people, like, for 3 years, but that's only one stage of their life.
Mm.
And there's so many stages of their life you won't see that people actually had. Like, even myself now, like, the fact my hair's changed, the fact I don't smell, hopefully I don't smell, is a bit hot in here today, but...
Nah, you took a shower
beforehand.
So
yeah, I did. But, yeah, like, it is one of those things that I felt like, do you know what? I haven't actually ever said to someone my whole life story before, so I thought, it's just an interesting thing, and I feel like it's one of those things that I just need to put out there. And I remember I did do a testimony in Harbour beforehand, so obviously Izzy, when we did the crew night, which is basically like sort of like a social gathering.
Yeah.
I remember I did put a testimony out, which is basically just saying what I had done in my life, but it wasn't to the full extent I felt like I can put onto here,
because
I felt like it's not really an appropriate place. And I also felt like at the time that wasn't the right thing, and I felt like God really pushing me to do it now. I'm sort of happy I've put it out there now.
Do you feel like a weight has been lifted over your shoulders?
Sort of, yeah, to be fair, because I feel like if it's one of those things I don't get out, so I know, obviously, I won't be able to go to my mum, oh, this thing happened. Because she's just like, what?
Yeah. Oh, she doesn't know.
Yeah, my mum doesn't know. Like, this is...
you just said it. Yeah, you said it
already. Yeah. My mum doesn't know.
Oh, yeah.
So, mum, you don't know. This is why. I don't want... I'm just saying to my mum right now, please don't play this in front of the whole family. This is the thing. This is why it gets to me. Like,
I mean, by now...
too late.
Yeah, I'm probably screwed, innit? But I'm going to stay in Portsmouth, but... so this is like, literally, this is a big reveal, like, this is the thing. So I'm pretty much exposing myself right now, but I know it's a sacrifice that's sort of worth it.
It's the second time this has happened with one of our guests saying something that the parents don't know, with FA being the first one and allowed this.
Oh, right.
Wow.
That's actually really interesting. I can't lie. But I mean, like, it's like what you said about how people don't know, like, the full extent to people's lives or, like, what they've been through. Because, like, with the whole comparison thing and just like comparing yourself to people and sometimes kind of feeling like I'm different and people don't care about me, and you're looking at someone else and you don't know that what they've been through, and you're envying their life, but you're like, if you knew their life, you'd be like, okay, I don't actually I actually don't want to go through what they went through, you know what
I mean?
And it kind of like humbles you and your own perspective of yourself, because you know, everyone goes through something, you know. Someone's a little
bit hungry.
But yeah, nah.
Do you want me to go on to my second part as well?
There's a second part.
Yeah, there's a second part.
Yeah.
So what we'll do? What we'll do is this will be like part one of.
Okay.
Of Jamie's life story.
Oh, we're having two lumps.
We're doing two episodes.
Oi, first person doing it as well.
Yeah. So this is part one. Hope you guys stay tuned for the second part, which we'll record soon.
Thank you guys for having me on here, and hopefully that message hopefully not inspires one of you, but hopefully can resemble to it. And yeah, thank you again guys for having me.
No worries. It's been your boy Izzy. It's
been your boy Tez,
and we'll catch you soon.
Catch you later.